You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Hey guys, how you doing? Before the show, I wanted to let you know that I will be in New York next week. Yes, there might be a meetup, and you can keep your eyes on the Please Advise Twitter for more info on that. But more importantly, I'm going to be recording several shows with exciting New York-based guests that normally I wouldn't have the chance to talk to. So since I'm trying to knock out maybe 4 episodes in a day, we really need an abundance of calls. We need to be call rich. So if you've ever wondered if you should call the show, the answer is yes, and you should do it right now. Reminder, your questions can be about literally anything: dating, television, food, friendship, online etiquette, whether or not someone was acting like an asshole, or if it's just you. Don't hesitate to call. We want your questions about everything because I'm qualified to give advice about literally nothing. 323-450-7408 is the number you need to call. Again, that's 323-450-7408 or email us at askpleaseadvise@gmail.com with letters or voice notes. Those voice notes sound real, real good. Never forget that, guys. Stop sending me your questions via Snapchat. I'm not looking. Don't ask if you should ask your question, because you should. Feel free to stay anonymous. Details like age, location, and sexual preference may help give some context, but that's not really required either. Do whatever you want as long as you're calling us and leaving a message at 323-450-7408. All right, here's the show. Hey, you guys, it's Malls. It's episode 142 of Please Advise. Okay, so I'm just going to get right into our guest today. Skip the banter, because she is one of the funniest people I know. She's also one of the most artistic and creative people I know. We met many years ago through a mutual friend, and kind of like, I think we see each other, like see you on social, be like, oh, love that. Like, you've written some really funny tweets back in the day when you were tweeting more. Always have loved you. And then you came on, I'm speaking directly to her yet haven't introduced her. She came on to Mother May I Sleep with podcast recently to discuss Killer Assistant, which was, I think, probably one of the best movies we've ever done on the Lifetime podcast. It was her suggestion. She's amazing. Her name is Jennifer Nice. Hey, girl. Thanks for being here.
Hey.
That was like the best intro.
No, you're the best. I'm so happy you're here doing this too, because you're so creative and like free and just.
I feel the same about you. I mean, I think we met, and then the first time we kind of actually met is we were like put together and we just hung out for a day and we just like walked around and made stuff.
Yeah.
And I think we clicked, and I think we both have the same kind of approach to things in that we're planners, but then we let it go and like kind of find the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to have some fun with it, man.
Yeah. And I think, yeah.
We lifetimed for like 4.5 hours. Oh, like, it was really.
Poor Steven.
I know, poor Steven. I know. I said to him, I'm like, if there's any chance you don't quit me after this season and we do a next season, I was like, I'll find someone else to edit it if you just come to the recordings. Like,
yeah.
I was like, I need to watch Lifetime movies with you. But yeah. I also am keenly aware of the fact that you're outgrowing me.
Yeah.
Steven's killing it. Part of me wants to go get my clip-in extensions and put them in while we're doing this podcast.
Would I would like to see
you?
That. No, you know what? One of the main things I remember, because like this is just, yeah, I think we met 7 years ago. We hung out twice and like made stuff together. And then we haven't seen each other for 5 years until you asked me to do the Lifetime podcast.
Yeah.
But one of the main things I remember, and we hadn't talked in that time either. So there's like this 5 year gap. But yeah. One of the main things I remember from the first time we hung out is you taught me how to put on false eyelashes.
Yes.
So maybe like this is just along that lines I don't know how to put in clip in hair. I have pretty thick hair, so I don't think I'll ever.
You have always had like, just like you have goals hair for me. I don't even use that word goals, but like you have this like just you have a naturally.
Yeah, it's the thick hair.
It's great.
So, but I mean, if you want to put in clip-ins, that's great. I'll learn about it.
I might even be sewing a few of them together.
I'm
trying to get, I don't know, no one has said anything. I've pointed it out to everyone who's walked into my house today, but my hair is two shades darker than it was last time we hung out. I have to slowly get back to brunette.
I think it looks good now. It looks natural.
Thank you. It's like, and I don't mind the maintenance, and it is like the thing I treat myself on. Like, I don't really like go out the way I used to.
Right.
I either spend my money on like nice dinners or basically beauty. Those are my two areas. And then also, of course, I have my clothing problem, but I do a pretty good job of getting investment pieces that I can then resell later. So I do an okay job with the clothing stuff. But I really, really, really fucking love hair. And I really want extensions. And I've had extensions before. And my hairdresser, Doris, is like in her 60s and she won't let me do it. She's a French woman. She is like single-handedly responsible for how healthy my hair is right now, because despite it being bleached, it's actually it's the healthiest it's been in a really long time. So she's gotten my hair all the way here and she's just like, Molly, she's like, I'll help you in a million ways. Do you remember when we were at RuPaul's Drag Con and like there was that woman who had extensions and she wanted me to put it in, she wanted me to buy, but I was like, we don't have time because I just bought a hair thing from someone else. Biggest mistake of my life, because now I am desperately trying to track those down. And Doris says that because it's basically a one and done sort of thing. It's almost like a, I don't know, like a turban towel or something where it's just like it's literally like a hair attached to an elastic. You flip your hair over, you put it on your head, and then you flip your hair back and you have extensions. And they really look very real.
Right.
And
But you always have to match color.
Yes. Because Doris can dye it. Right.
Oh.
So right now what I'm doing is
I think I can track this down for you.
You think you might be able to?
Yeah. Is track a pun?
Yeah. Because they probably have a list. They probably have a list of vendors that were there.
Yeah.
And then I can just cross-reference it with like the things that you're talking
about. Oh, I did put that woman. What's her name? She the hustler that fucking hustled. I have her saved in my thing. She's like, take my number, girl. We'll hang out. And I'm like, I'm never going to see you again. You're just like jammed. You sold me a $200 flat iron. Like, let's call a spade a spade.
Yeah, I'll figure it out for you. I'm gonna get CSI on it
because I can maybe even text that girl. She might know because they were in the same booth.
It's probably easier just to like
look it up. Yeah. Right? Okay.
I don't want you to have to invite that back into your life. You know
like
what I
that
mean?
Energy.
Like $600 later and like seven hair irons. Like you're in the.
To be clear, I did not spend $600 on a flat iron. It was only two.
How was DragCon? Is it super fun?
The most fun.
So much fun.
We had the best day.
We had the best time.
Yeah, like Ernie goes every year. She's like obsessed with
Ernie
RuPaul.
Is your friend Ernie Walker.
Yeah,
that's her last name. Ernie Walker, you guys might know of her. She's a comedy person. But yeah, no, she's super funny and she goes every year, right?
Yeah, I mean, no one loves RuPaul more than she does. And no one loves drag queens more than she does. So I always see her posts every year she goes and like I'm like, oh, this looks fun. I love a convention. Oh my gosh.
I love any
convention. Tomorrow I'm going to some like culinary convention at the
LA Expo or
yeah,
whatever.
Or whatever.
Those are really fun.
Oof, I'm like ready to get my fatty on. Like,
I've been
for sure
to one of those round the world sort of food conventions. That's like what we did in, I think it was like a field trip when we were learning about in fifth grade when we were learning about like all the different.
Yeah.
We're learning about immigration, I think. So we were learning about all the wares and snacks and things that come from different countries. And part of that was going to this food fair where I remember you get a pass and like all day long you just walk around from place to place and get all this food from different countries in the world.
Right.
There's not a country not represented, which is crazy because like, especially growing up in Boston, like I always say, I'm like, I'm not a sushi person because I never saw sushi growing up. Like I still haven't developed a taste for it.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, they have sushi restaurants in Boston, but it's not like the go-to. Like,
yeah, I had this like group. I have multiple ladies groups.
Yeah.
And I had this, I mean, it's been a while since we all met up, but it was called Lifelong Learning, Total Fucking Immersion. And it was basically like the idea behind it, and it degenerated into us just eating.
Yeah.
Was that we would find the most authentic, so we'd pick a country.
Yeah.
We'd find the most authentic restaurant in LA that represented that country. We would each learn a pop song from the country. We each learned three words. And then we would eat at the restaurant. So if it was like Nicaragua, we'd find the best Nicaraguan food.
Yeah.
And then we'd all have learned.
Did you have to sing the song?
I mean, we never really did the like legwork. We had it as an idea where we'd like learn the capital, learn three facts about this. And
yeah.
Like, we'd learn three facts about the country. We did that for a while. It degenerated into us just being like, how about tapas?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And now it's kind of, yeah, devolved.
I love that you have ladies groups. This is actually brings up something interesting that I've been wanting to talk about, which is that I came across a column this week that's old and it's coming out as a book now, but it's done on a website called The Toast, and it's called Hey Ladies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's essentially like, hey lady, it's all emails amongst a group of girlfriends, and like these characters develop, and I just was thinking to myself, like, God, this is like a fucking writer's wet dream to be able to develop these characters and use email as a device. And basically it's supposed to mock group email exchange between a bunch of women who plan events, and they clearly dislike each other, and they clearly
are in different
places in their lives. And I wrote to the woman who did it. Her name's Caroline. She's actually going to come on Emotionally Broken Psychos soon because she's also a newlyweds head. And she and I just like wrote to her, and I was like, hey, like I just like read all of Hey Ladies, and I was like, I am so intrigued by this. It was so funny. It also was like so chilling to me. And I said, mainly because this is the reason, this exact scenario is why I don't have a group of girlfriends. I am a girl's girl, but right. I'm like, I'll be a girl with you, Christina. I'll be a girl with you, Jen. But like, I'm not like, can I get six of us together and just like fucking girl it out? And it's because I have never been in a group of girlfriends that's fucking healthy. Well, like they've always been disasters.
Like the key is that like, we're not all together all the time. Like,
right.
We do the doodle. Like you should get doodle as a doodle is the fucking jam. Do you use doodle?
No.
Oh my God.
I thought do the doodle was like a cool hanging out
term. You guys
term.
Gotta know about doodle. Like,
okay.
Doodle is the fucking best.
Tell us what doodle is.
Okay, it's basic. It's like this website. Maybe it's an app, but you basically put in dates and then everyone just checks the time that they're available.
Oh.
And then you can line up. So say like, I mean, my ladies movie watching group, uh-huh, who are the best ladies in the world. Like, big shout out to Jessica, who I know listens to this podcast.
Oh, hi, yeah.
Hi, Jessica.
Yeah, like, you know, we're all very busy, and to get six of us together is very hard, especially on weekends, you know.
Can I come to your movie?
Oh, my God. The next
one,
we thought we had it, like, every month, and now it's, like, every 6 months.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
we know
yeah.
It's seasonal now.
You get so ambitious funny. When
yeah.
You set things up.
So we basically, like, pick a movie. They all seem to be, like, music based for some reason,
okay,
like Selena, you know, just like all of that.
Oh,
and then we like make pun based food.
Oh,
oh my God.
You guys should both come to the next one.
Yeah, thank yeah. God I wasn't invited to Selena because I'd never be invited back because I have some weird emotional relationship with that movie where like I don't just cry, like I sob like a child. Like I really, it does something to me where I think it allows me a safe opportunity to really express myself.
Right.
And I remember my stepbrother came down probably five Christmases ago and like came down to the basement I lock myself in when I go home. And he was like, mom wants you to come upstairs. Selena's on. And I was like, oh God, my mom like knows I love Selena. So like we're watching it and I, you know, start to cry like before anything sad has even happened. And my mom's like, at a certain point, my mom was like, are you okay? Like, she just was like, my mom's always known I'm a sensitive person, but like, Dude, I fucking, it was not normal, like, how the amount I was crying. Right. And I think she just, nothing has affected me more in my life than, I have a sticker on my car that says, take Trump, bring back Selena. Like, I love her so much. I have a Como La Flor t-shirt. Like, I love her so much.
I remember, like, the VH1 Behind the Music of that, not to go back to the 90s, as I mentioned.
No, I love the 90s.
Is that I remember there was, like, an interview with, is it Yolanda, mm-hmm. that murdered her?
Oh, that fucking cunt.
And somebody was talking about, someone was talking about her and they were like, oh, yeah, Selena left the room. And then, like, 2 minutes later, Yolanda was like, I miss Selena. And they're like, she just left.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Selena. You remember that part?
Yeah.
I remember, like, that so clearly. Or maybe somebody mentioned it to me and I remember it because of that. But, yeah.
What do you think was, like, the nature of her obsession?
I think that she started out just, like, as a regular, like admirer. Like, you know, we've dealt with people that treat me like that on a certain level, except, like, money isn't in play that way. And, like, control and power isn't in way that way. But, like, you know, Selena handed over to basically a fan, like, the keys to her kingdom. And, you know, I think that really it was greed. It was a mixture of, like, you know, I wouldn't say jealousy, but, like, you know, just it's just like it's just you take a super fan and then you throw a dose of psycho in there.
Yeah,
and
I think, like, a mental illness element is. Yeah, and I think we don't. Yeah. In general, we in this country don't talk enough about that or, like, examine it to, like, where you can recognize it ahead of time.
Uh-huh.
Because we always are like, oh, that person's just psycho. It's like, no, there's a step that has to be taken for someone to murder another person that has to do with mental illness. And, like,
yes.
And that step got took, and we can just be like, oh, this is a super fan. But if we, like, really look at stuff, and, like, this goes with, like, any sort of shoot ups in the country, if we really look at it and we actually talk about it, maybe we can recognize it beforehand and know the warning signs.
That's why I get so, and one of the many reasons why I get so weird about just people calling each other crazy, because crazy is a real thing. And also, it's a very lazy way to address someone who is different than you.
It's dismissive.
And Dave Chappelle said it best on Inside the Actors Studio, like, the worst thing you can do is call a person crazy. And it's true. So I fucking love that you brought that up. Jen, did you bring three reasons why you're qualified to give advice on today's show?
I mean, I thought about it, but then I started thinking too much about it, and then I couldn't really.
You want to just freestyle
I'm
it?
Well, the one that I got number one, and that's, like, I'm not.
You know, oh, I'm the number, like, one is that she's not.
I'm not qualified.
Okay.
I can tell that didn't sink in.
Yeah.
Okay. I was like,
number one reason is that I'm just, like, admitting now I'm not.
Yeah. No, none of us are. Yeah, no.
But that's also being self-aware.
It is. And then also on the fly, I was, you know, saying to you guys that I listened to the last episode, and it was just so something, like, I'm like, oh, I would have to sit with these problems, you know, for a while. And I think I'm maybe more qualified if I got to sit with something on the fly, like, don't listen to me.
Well, then, you know, that's why this show is, you know,
under the comedy section.
Yeah, you can't sue us. I mean,
you guys do a great job for sure.
Thank you.
And also, there's something to be said that because it's on the fly, it's instinctual.
Right.
So that might be more resonant than something that you might overprocess.
Like, there's a reason why I don't listen to the
calls. Well, maybe number two for me then is that, well, I have an enlarged empathy gland.
Okay.
And
so sometimes, like, I'll react to something.
Yeah.
I'll let it settle. I'll feel my feelings about it. Then I'll shake the snow globe and, like, see where it lands again.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm.
It sounds like you're a big processor.
I am a processor.
You'd be good at polyamory.
I would not be good at that.
But they love to process.
Oh, do they process?
Oh, they're big into
That's
processing.
Huge.
That's
huge.
All they do.
Oh, they process.
They process.
They fucking listen.
I'll take your word.
I'm surprised more of them aren't, like, paper pushers.
I'm surprised we haven't heard from more polyamorous being like, yes, the processing is exhausting.
Yeah. If you have polyamory and it works for you, please talk to us about it.
Fucking call us, dude. We don't have to say your name if you're not out to your family or whatever. Well,
I can disguise your voice.
Yeah.
I'm not dismissing that. I'm just saying that that's
no,
not
no,
my
no,
thing.
But no, often, no. Like, we never really hear
we talk
from
about
people
polyamory
who,
every week.
Yeah. We never really hear from people who polyamory works for because there's still such a stigma attached to it.
Yeah.
And the ones who often do end up speaking up are, tend to be like but this people is who like, want the spotlight or they're narcissists. Yeah. And it's not like really great representation for the
but
polyamory.
By polyamory
community.
You mean that people like they're involved in a relationship or.
Not, it's not an open relationship. Polyamory, it basically means many loves. So that, like, that's the direct translation of it. So you may have a primary partner, but you basically are allowed to have as many boyfriends, lovers, whatever.
Oh, I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't say that I would be in something committed and then when be I commit, like,
so
I commit.
You don't want commitment.
Yeah, I would, I don't know, that's what polyamory means. You don't think like, I'm all for it. Like, I'm getting more used to that idea, like, as I go, you know?
Because people tend to think that if you, it's like having another child, right? So they're like, oh, I can never love two kids the same way. But it's like, actually, love can be fractured and, you know, multiplied a million times over and the more you allow it into your heart, you know? And also the deepness, yeah. The depth with which you get, you know, with certain people is completely different per person. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So after this, you're going to go maybe join a poly website?
No. Because no. I don't, I don't.
Not seeking.
Like the websites or like this. I feel like stuff that's meant to come to me will come to me. That sounds like I'm, you know, metaphysical, but I'm not.
I feel you.
Okay. So maybe third. Well, I guess, I don't know. Yeah. I feel like the processing thing is a big thing. And then, I don't know. I guess I mean, like, I think, like, maybe Joni Mitchell's a lazy bitch, you know? Like, she only looks at clouds from, like, two sides. Like, yeah. I look at them from, like, you know, inside. I upload
the wildest quote. That
I didn't think anyone would drag Joni Mitchell on this podcast. And yet, here we are.
Joni Mitchell's just looking at the clouds from two sides. Like, yeah. I get in there. Like, I get in the cloud. I'm, like, trying to understand what the cloud's the shape it is.
Yeah.
Like, you know. Like,
cumulus.
Or, like, I'll get on an Oculus Rift and try to understand a cloud that way.
Yeah.
No, I'm no shade to Joni Mitchell.
No, I mean, she's deserved it.
But I guess, like, my point is that, like, I always try to, I will judge. I am very judgy, but then I let that go. And
you're discerning. I don't think you're a mean judger.
No, I don't. I mean, I have judgmental thoughts and then I let them go and try to understand where people come from.
That's
I don't know if that's good
you.
For advice, like I said, like on the fly, but I don't know.
Oh, I think it's
maybe
great
that's
for advice.
Is that three reasons? I don't know.
That's totally three reasons. And I think we should take our calls because I also want to go get my bag of hair and start sewing.
I like that.
Okay, let's do it.
I like the phrase bag of hair.
It's a bag of hair.
Hi, please,
guys.
I've called before. I live in the Northeast. I'm 24. I live in a small town, which I feel like might make a difference. But I am recently-ish single again after a year-long relationship that I wasn't very happy in. But I'm kind of in this weird dating thing, I guess, and I wanted to get an outside opinion on it because my friends say it's just not a thing that will ever happen. I am not into casual hookups, and I actually am celibate totally by choice. I am a born-again Christian, but I don't care what anybody does. And I'm having a hard time because I don't want to dive back into a relationship, but I'm not looking to hook up, and my friends pretty much have told me that you're either in a relationship or you're hooking up with someone, and that's it. So what is your opinion on, like, casual dating? Is it a thing? How do I broach it to guys that I'm going out with? I have a hard time meeting guys, so I meet a lot of guys online, which means that I guess there's kind of a pretense of hookup there. And I just wanted to see what you guys thought about it and how I can go about navigating that. So if you could give me your opinions on that, that would be great. And, I had also had a question on, I get a lot of anxiety about making eye contact, and I just want to know, am I the only one who does not know where to look on a person's face on a date? Can they tell I'm only looking at one eyeball?
Well, let me start by asking you this about the eye contact. Can you tell when someone's not making eye contact with you? That's usually the best way to judge, I would guess, right? Whether or not people know you're not making eye contact.
Right. And if you know it's a thing, maybe you should practice it.
Yeah. I mean, I also say to people before I start this podcast, this is an entirely different example, but like sometimes to my guests, they'll say like, hey, if I'm not looking at you or if I have my sunglasses on, sometimes it's easier for me to think if I'm not like visually engaged with another person.
Right.
So I would also just be like open about it and just be like, yo, sometimes I'm like, I don't make the best eye contact because it's the easiest way for me to like kind of think something through.
100.
And I think that will make it take the sting off of maybe any sort of weirdness that exists around that, because it is a thing. People like to have eye contact made with them. It shows that you're engaged. And if it's not personal, that just goes, you know, just make sure people know. People take things too personally in general. So that's just, I think, another one of those things that people would take too personally.
Where do you look on a person's face?
My eyes are weird, so I don't know that I can speak to that.
I don't know. I feel like, I mean, this room has a lot of like really engaging stuff. So I feel like I'm looking around this room and I'm too in my head about thinking it. But I do feel like there's something about like me and Christina are looking at each other right now. But I feel like really, she has such a friendly face. I feel engaged with it. So like, I don't know. I feel like it's really telling if you can make eye contact with a person. And if that's something that you're concerned about, it's maybe something to practice. Mm-hmm. You know, just this call in general, like dating is practicing. Like that's the thing. Nobody marries the first person they date, you know.
And a lot of people don't like the person they end up with on the first date.
Right. And so everything in dating is practicing. So you don't have to do it perfect. It's practice. Right. And, you know, the person that you want to be in a relationship with is the person that you feel comfortable and you're not spinning out on. You're like, okay, this feels natural. This feels right. I can look at them in the eye. And everything up until that is a practice.
And also, like, there are, just like in anything in life, there are no universal truths. I think that, so, like, when it comes to, oh, dating online implies that it's a hookup thing, you know, not always. No, I mean, I have never been on Tinder to find a hookup, and I've gone on great dates on there. But that said, I think that one thing that you really need to keep in mind is that you're a born-again Christian. You are a Christian woman, and that is something that you value. That's a part of your personality in a way. That's a part of your lifestyle. And there are a lot of people out there who will accept you for that and maybe even want to be with you more because of it. So I think that you should be explicit about that in your profile. And say, you know, like, I'm saving myself for marriage. Celibate sounds, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, sounds very extreme and like a lifestyle choice that doesn't have necessarily to do with your religion, but more to do with maybe your relationship with your body or something like that. So I would also just say that, like, I would say that phrasing is very important, and the word saving yourself is a little bit on, or the word celibate is a little bit on the dramatic side.
Maybe abstinent?
Yeah.
Or just don't compare yourself to, like, what you see on TV. No one's, like, fucking boning every night, like, on TV. You know what I mean?
You're not? No, I'm just kidding.
I'm not.
Everyone can be Cliff and, Cliff and, Claire Huxtable.
Yeah. Well, he spent a lot of time on the couch.
He did.
Didn't he have to, like, she'd be like, you sleeping on the couch.
Maybe.
You're probably sleeping on the couch tonight, Cliff. I mean, we got into the whole Cliff thing before. We don't need to go back.
They got
there.
Bit, but they were very.
But I mean, just because you're only having sex when you're in a relationship doesn't mean that you're celibate, or if you're not having, I don't know. You know, everyone's different.
Yeah, everyone's different.
I would say maybe try Christian Mingle.
I'm just gonna say,
But also just like try to get yourself involved in maybe like extracurricular activities outside of like church life. So like volunteer somewhere that is tied into doing something with the church that aligns with your values. Mm-hmm. And you might meet someone that way, and then you can go for coffee or something like that.
I mean, I was gonna say, like, isn't that like the dream? Like if I don't have a church community in LA because I don't practice Catholicism. I am a little bit more Christian leaning, but I also am just very spiritual in general. So, which is a very LA douchebag thing to say, but it's also just true. So what I would recommend to you is, like, fucking take advantage of the fact that you are in one of those unique situations that everyone talks about being, like, a great way to meet someone, which is you go to church, meet someone at church.
Right.
Has to be set up by, like, someone at your church.
A church couple, yeah. Yeah. That was going to be my next suggestion. The last person we told someone to ask their friends or, you know, extended acquaintances for a date ended up getting married. So
yeah.
Also, like, I mean, just by the tenor of your call, like, it does sound like you know yourself and you know what you want and you're not, like, shucking and jiving to impress dudes. So, like, go into stuff like that. And, like, that's a level of confidence that – I don't know. How old is she?
I think she said she was 24.
Yeah. That's a level of confidence that not a lot of people, like, in their 20s have, you know?
True.
And so just cherish that. I mean, it might all change for you. You might find yourself 34 being a completely the opposite, you know? But – as of now, you know what you want and you know what you like and find it.
Own it, baby.
It's not impossible. It just means it might be a little bit harder.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, I mean, I actually don't think it should be that hard. I mean, you have the fucking bomb setup, dude. Like, first of all, you're in the Northeast. Guys are so hot. Mm-hmm. Secondly, like, girl, like, you go to church. Like, you've got the golden ticket.
Yeah, you've got a social situation set out for you.
Most people do not. I mean, that's the thing that most people are missing. So take advantage of that shit. Live your life.
You're doing great.
You're doing great. We support you. And update us. Let us know. I also, you know, I just want to throw out there, too, that it seems like your friends are very different than you. And at some point, that's probably going to get really old. And you're 24, so you're at that age where it's like you still kind of hang out with whoever's around. But I think that, you know, sooner rather than later, you're going to find yourself needing to reprioritize your friends. And I think that you're not going to be surprised to find out that you are hanging out with a lot of people from your church, you know, or something like that. But it seems like if your friends are telling you kind of like there's no one out there for you or whatever, they're from a different... They're living a different experience than you. And I think that you need to honor your experience by...
100. Go with your gut.
Yeah.
I feel like your bowels are your bae.
Your bowels are your bae, girl.
Yeah, go with your gut.
All right, let's take our next call then.
Hey, Malls, Christina, Wags, and guests. I have a problem that's not really a problem. It's more just a situation that I would like a second set of eyes on. Okay, a little bit of background. About 9 years ago, I was dating a guy very briefly. It was kind of hot and heavy, and then we broke up. It wasn't a thing. It was a long time ago. He, at the same time, though, was dating another girl at the same time he was dating me, named Jenny. We both knew of each other. We'd never met. We all live in the same city, and I know there was, like, a little bit of jealousy between us because he kind of played us against each other during that period, but... time moved on. We broke up. He's married to someone else. Here we are 9 years later. So I've still never met Jenny. She was always just kind of this figure, and I didn't really care because it's been so long. The problem comes in that about 3-4 months ago, whenever Instagram stories became big and people started doing them, I started posting Instagram stories, like, you know, once or twice a day. And I noticed that Jenny, who I've never met, do not follow on social media, and have not been involved with personally in any way in my life for about 9 years, was, like, one of the first people to watch every one of my Instagram stories. So I don't know if you guys know, just for those who don't, when someone watches your Instagram story, you can see a list of people who watch your Instagram stories. And I'm mostly just kind of embarrassed for her because... I mean, like, you know people stalk online, but usually you can't see it like this. And, I mean, at the same time, I'm not going to pretend that I'm not flattered a little. But I don't know if I should block her. I don't know if I should tell her. I don't know if I should reach out and be like, hey, your cyberstalking from a relationship of a long time ago is very evident to me. And she's married and just had another child. I can tell from looking at her Instagram, which I wouldn't have done unless I saw her watching every one of my Instagram stories almost immediately after I post them. I just don't know the proper thing here. If I should be blocking her, if I morally should be blocking her. And I want this to serve as a PSA to anyone that is stalking Instagram stories, that person can see that you're watching their Instagram stories. So I don't know. Please advise.
You know, I mean, here's something that might come as a major surprise to you. Maybe she wants to be your friend.
Right.
Have you ever thought of that? I mean, I actually made pretty good friends with, an ex's ex, because we just kind of followed each other on Instagram, and she started following me first when he and I were dating, and I thought that was kind of an odd power move, and I just decided to follow her back because, like, I ain't afraid of no ghost. And then, you know, now all these years later, the two of us have both come to the very real realization that this guy's a fucking psychopath, and we enjoy each other a lot. I actually bought a pair of earrings from her, and we're going to hang out very soon. Like, she's just, like, someone that I want to know now. So,
right, someone dating someone, obviously there's some sort of similarity,
right,
that makes them connect to this third party.
Also, yeah, don't let a guy get away with shit like that.
Also, there's complete irony in the fact that you're calling about her, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, you're calling about Jenny.
Jenny.
Should Jenny block you? I don't know. She's also not trying to hide it. She's just looking at your stuff. I have a really big problem. No shade to you. But I have a really big problem with the stalking thing.
Yeah.
People post stuff on the internet because they want people to see it.
Yeah.
And then they judge the people that look at it.
Yeah.
As if, like, oh, stop. Like, they're not outside your house. Yeah, they're obsessed with me. They look at all my stories. They, you know, it's like you put it out there for that. Also, you know, I go down deep holes, like,
who amongst us has not gone down a deep hole?
I never would shade anyone for wanting to, like, information. That's one of the, I don't know. I just think that the stalking thing, it's like, if you want information and it's there for you, you're not, I don't.
Okay, so as a person who has always put stuff out online, it's not a pet peeve, it's just something that makes me sad, which is when I meet someone who has read my work or you know, follows me on social and enjoys it, and they're like, oh my God, I love your stuff, I'm stalking you, I'm so sorry. And it's like, dude, you're not fucking stalking me. Like, can you stop, like, first of all, insulting, like, the medium,
right?
You know, secondly, like, what do you think I put it out there for? It's not stalking. And it's actually, you know, if someone's consuming your content, regardless of the reason why they're doing it, it is complimentary.
Also, there's something very habitual about looking at certain things. Like, I look at certain things from people that maybe I was, you know, fixated on, you know, 5 years ago or something, mm-hmm. and I'll just check back in as a habit if, like, something's rendering on my computer, and it's a habitual thing. I mean, I don't care to have dinner with them, but I'm just like, what's going on here?
I mean, you know? this is the way that we have discovery now. There's, like, you know, you just seeing different people's lifestyles, like, you know, I have read tons of, like, mommy bloggers and people that have nothing to fucking do with my life and never will. But I find them interesting. And I think that that's something that you need to accept as someone who posts things to the internet.
Or you also get involved with people's stories. Like, maybe you started with them, you know, how many, 9 years ago, and you started, like, you were maybe obsessively looking because you were into this dude and this was the other girl. But then you're kind of like, oh, I kind of know their story, so I'm going to keep up with it, even though that time has passed. That's, like, that's part of, you know, that's part of what the internet is.
Now, I think the other thing that she might be saying, which she did not make clear, was that this woman does not follow her. I think she doesn't follow her. And so she goes in and, like, manually searches her, which, I mean, look, like, I get the idea of being like, okay, why are you doing that? But obviously, you know, this woman is a person too. And she probably is dealing with something very, very similar to you are, which is that, like, yeah, she's a little bit embarrassed that she is a married woman that still cares about this person. I mean, if I were you, I would be upset that a guy even put you in this position, and I'd be going out of my way to make friends with this person.
Exactly.
All these years later, especially if she is a mom, like, you guys are not, like, competing in the same dating circuit or anything like that. You also said that, you know, this guy purposely, you know, puts you guys against one another. And that's really fucked up that he did that. That's a really fucked up position he puts you in.
And you have to undo that in your mind. Stop competing, because that's just him. Like, that's how he set the table.
Yeah,
like,
any negativity you're still feeling about this at this point is on you. you know, like you need to do that self-work, whatever for you that is, like you need to do the self-work required to move on from that. Because at this point, it's just like, you know, being annoyed with Jenny is like a little bit sad for you, you know, yeah. like just, I don't know. But, you know, in a broader sense, like, yeah, I had a girl that I knew was following me online and like, it was definitely like she was laughing at my life. And this person definitely has gone far out of her way. I mean, I always say, just to put it bluntly, this girl has some sort of fucking hard on for me. I don't really know exactly what it is, but there's something about me that does something for her and she feels the need to keep up with me.
Right.
Well, she doesn't follow me on a lot of mediums, but she does follow, she followed me on Snapchat. And I realized that she was one of the first people, she and her sister were two of the first people to watch everything I posted. And I was just like, mm-mm, no, I know these two girls too well. They're sitting at home. They're shit-talking me. I found out eventually that, like, this girl was so shit-talking me, she went to the extent of tracking down one of my friends from elementary school. Whoa. And that's how I wound up finding out that this girl was poisonous on my timeline. But anyway, I decided I was going to block her. I decided that I was just going to, like, you know, cut out the middleman. If this girl wants to talk to me, she can come talk to me and find me. But, like, she's not going to just have access to my shit all the time. And if, you know, if she's not obsessed with me, that shouldn't bother her. So a couple weeks later, because it was on Snapchat and she is in my contacts list, it said to me that this person was following me again, except she was following me under, like, Bieber girl 279. And so it was like obviously like a fake account, right? So I got really like freaked out by it because it said her name, but it was also this other thing. And I just decided, you know what? I'm just going to cut to the chase. And I just like texted her and I said, hey, I don't know if you realize this, but because you're in my contact list, whenever you follow me on Snapchat under a new name, I know it's you.
Yeah, hot tips. That's a good tip.
And I said, you know, I just want to, like, I also just want to point out that you have my phone number. And if you want to talk to me or have any questions about my life, you can reach out to me directly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't really understand what your deal is with my Snapchat because we haven't spoken. You don't follow me on Instagram. You don't follow me on Twitter. I was like, I don't know what your deal is with my Snapchat, but, you know, I don't really see why you need to be a part of it either. Right. So, it actually led to us having a really odd conversation. Of course, she denied. I've never seen someone get caught in a lie harder than my entire – it was actually pretty amazing.
Yeah.
But it was an important moment because, one, I kind of, like, took back the night, so to speak. Way to wildly misuse that expression. I kind of, like, just basically said, like, look, like, we're adults. You know what I mean? I don't want to be followed by a fake account. Like, either tell me why you're following me on Snapchat, start shit-talking me to my face and be a fucking grown adult or whatever. Like, remind me what it is I did to you. I would love to know.
Yeah.
I don't think the situation that you're talking about is that combative in any capacity, but I do think that you are I do think that in general, when it comes to this sort of stuff, being the adult, like taking away the screen element, I have a theory.
Well, I think you're right in that you you said that, like, you know, you're assigning feelings to it that this guy set up for you guys.
Totally.
And it these feelings aren't like necessary now. You guys aren't in competition.
Married. He's probably cheating on his wife.
He's just checking out what, like, maybe she, yeah, like you said, Molly, like she might like the stuff you post and.
She might have always, you know, that's like basically what the girl said that when I became kind of like friendly with my ex's ex on, and by the way, this is not the ex that probably a lot of you are thinking about. This is an ex from when I was like 27 or something. It was a really long time ago. 26. It was a really long time ago. But, she, you know, basically I said to her, like, I didn't understand why you followed me for a really long time. I was like kind of weirded out. And she was like, I just thought you were a cool girl and like that you were too cool to be dating him. And like, if anything, like I was just a little bit annoyed that he was dating you because like you can do better than him. And I was like, that's nice to say. And also true.
Yeah. Sustained.
True, you know, so sustained. So anyway, yeah, I think that, you know, don't give into it too much. It feels to me like you're giving this an awful lot of air, you know, and yeah. It doesn't really deserve it. So, but yeah, sure. It's weird.
Yeah. I would just come at it from like, oh, I post stuff that she's interested in.
And blocking, you know, is aggressive. It makes you look like you have a real big problem. Like I had to talk to a friend yesterday who, was telling me about this guy is following her, and he basically like follows her and only tweets at her, and he doesn't know her. He's just a fan of her writing. And she blocked him. And I said, girl, like, you took a situation that could have been nothing and just turned it into a something.
Yeah,
like,
it's a negative move.
Now you've given him a reason.
Y'all know about the book Positive Moves by Angela Lansbury?
No.
Oh my God. You guys got to get into this.
I love her.
Angela Lansbury wrote this book called Positive Moves. Has recipes, workouts. It's kind of my motto for this year is just positive moves. You know, just like what's, you know, like blocking's a negative move. Positive move. Like just make a positive move.
That's a really, really great tip.
Yeah. And also you can get this on eBay, this book. It's a really great book. Yeah, there's a lot of pictures.
You can get it. Can you get it other places? Is it only on
eBay? I don't think it's in print anymore. I think you have to get it. There also, somebody did an edit. I guess a video came out with it. Someone did an edit on YouTube that just kind of took the sexual parts of the video. And because she tells you about self-care, taking a bath, working out, and it's very, you know.
Sexual?
Yeah.
And she talks about like masturbating in the bath?
I mean, it's implied.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. Somebody did a cut of the video. I'm sure the video is longer. I have to look this up now. I mean, please, everyone, look up Positive Moves, but also the book. You know, I have it as, like, I want it. Well, I had it. It's a long story, but yeah.
Positive Moves, girl.
Positive Moves.
And, yeah, just, you know, and also really, if you can't handle the heat, don't go in the kitchen. If you are this disturbed by anything that happens with Instagram stories, don't take part in it. And and that is advice that I take for myself, where it's like, if I'm seeing like bad stuff come because I'm snapping vulnerably or whatever, I just am off. I leave Snap for a couple weeks. I come back when my attitude is adjusted.
The tenor of Instagram stories is that they're temporary, right? So yeah. It's just like, you know, they should be wistful.
Exactly.
And not get in your craw.
Yeah, 100%. Have fun, girl.
Yeah.
Go out there and you have fun, okay?
You do it. I mean, I was telling them, like, your voice sounds very clear. You seem like a very, like, clear-headed person. And,
yeah.
And your voice is very, like, powerful and, you know.
I was actually a little taken aback.
Yeah.
When the phone call started. I was like, well, damn.
Yeah, it just, yeah, I mean, you sound very, like, direct and, you know, clear and just...
Positive moves.
Positive moves.
All right. I guess we have another call. Let's take another call.
Hey, Malls. It's Mary. I'm 29, calling from Denver, and I'm going to meet up with my best friend in WeHo so that we can go to Sur and Pump, and we want to stay at a fairly nice hotel within walking distance so we don't have to deal with Uber or Lyft. So if you or Christina could give some recommendations of where we could stay that's within walking distance, that would be awesome. Thanks. Love the pod.
Well, there's really only one place I can think of that's super walking distance, but it is one of my favorite fucking hotels in, like, of all time. It's Petit Hermitage, which is, you'll just have to look it up. It's E-M-I. I mean, just it's French. But it's beautiful. You can find rates that are somewhat affordable. I forget the exact website that I used to book through, but I stayed in a suite there for several nights at one point, and it was one of the nicest hotels I have ever stayed at. And it's old. It feels very much like Chateau Marmont, except it's it's much less star fucky. It's a boutique hotel. It's cute. It's really cute. I do have to ask though why you need to stay. I mean, like, are you really planning on going to Sur that much? Like,
that was my question.
I know.
It's just like, what's wrong with like a 2-minute Lyft ride?
I would. Sunset Tower, if you can handle the 2-minute Lyft ride, is great too.
I just Googled some stuff too. There's the Le Montrose Suite Hotel. There's another one called Hotel Beverly Terrace and the London West Hollywood.
Oh, London is the best.
And also the Four Seasons is on Doheny.
That's right.
I mean, I don't know a huge amount, but I think the London is like low key, has all the stuff. But, I mean, if you're coming out here on vacation and you're going to Sur and stuff, maybe you want the, like, bells and whistles, so you want to go to the peninsula.
Every night.
You know?
That's also kind of a hilly, uphill walk back from from Pump if you're going to stay at the London?
I mean, if you're coming to do, like, that life, then go to the Peninsula because you're going to get everything you want. Or Chateau Marmont, which I both of those.
Not walkable, but.
But it's also, I don't know. Those are my worst nightmare. I think London is, like, the nicest, but low-key where it's not a lot of.
Yeah, Petit Hermitage is a little bit dirty the way that the Chateau is.
Yeah. Also, maybe take a night and go to Gracias Madre.
Yeah, I don't like. Yeah. Here's the one thing you have to understand about Sur. They do not have the strongest pour in town. It's expensive. It's disgusting.
I've never been, but I've been out. I've seen it outside, and I don't know if it was Sur or the other, like one of the other Pump or whatever. But I just don't understand.
It's because of Vanderpump Rules.
No, but something that disconnects to me is that, like, Lisa Vanderpump is supposed to be, like, I mean, she's got goddamn swans in her entry, right? But yeah. She can't take a power washer to a restaurant? Like,
no, I know.
It's dirty as fuck outside.
It's a cum dumpster.
Yeah. I've never been inside. Maybe it's nicer inside, but the outside, it's just, like, wash it.
Yeah, it's really gross.
But she seems very presentational, you know? But it's like, why would you have the exterior of your restaurant look like this?
She moved olive trees into the restaurant. Like, she had olive trees.
There's some weird disconnect there. Like, it looks like it needs, like, it's really easy. Just a power washer. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's dirty.
I don't know if it's Sur or whatever one is by Gracias Madre.
Who is that restaurant for? Because I've heard you talk so much horrible things about it that I can't imagine it staying in business.
Bravo fans and gay men. I mean,
aren't those the same thing?
It's basically like it's right there in WeHo and
yeah, that's true.
House Sur survived for so long before Vanderpump Rules is unbeknownst to me, but it's basically like they make high volumes of money, like not Abbey level, but like very high volumes.
Just on
of money.
Shit drinks or something?
Yeah, shit drinks, and you know, people talk up the food on the show. They make it seem like we have to come up with some new dishes for our kitchen. And it's really all just like the most disgusting food. It's disgusting drinks. But people go because like you get to stand in the place where Kristen told Diana to suck a dick. Like you get to, you know, you get to see they really, you know, sometimes the cast really are there working. Like you get to see those things. And that's, you know, for some people, they come to L.A. and they want to see a live taping of a sitcom. For other people, they come to L.A. and they want to go to Sur. Like,
no, I get it. It's fun. It's like a fun adventure L.A. thing, I guess. Probably.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. But I would also definitely go to Gracias Madre. I mean,
which is a vegetarian Mexican, right?
Vegan nachos sounds so disgusting, but these are amazing.
Cashew cheese is so good.
Ugh, it's so good. I had the best corn there, and I've never had good corn in California, you know?
Yeah.
It was so good.
Where do you have good corn?
Arkansas.
Oh. Yeah. Where are you from again?
But I spent my summers in Arkansas as a kid.
Why?
Because my grandparents.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. It's like so much more flavorful.
Fresh.
Same with tomatoes.
Yeah.
And you could just smell it and it's flavorful. I'm sure there's, I'm not being snobby. I'm sure there's good places to get corn here. Definitely Gracias Madre. But like I've bought corn and tried to make it as good. But it's basically like farm grown, I need to go to more farmers markets, I guess. And like,
I love farmers markets. I'll go with you anytime.
Tomorrow's the Hollywood one. It's pretty good.
And it's Atwater as well.
Yeah.
I love the Atwater one.
Yeah.
They even have meat. They have like great meat and cheese.
Really?
Yeah.
They had some good dumplings last time I was there.
And yeah.
Fresh oysters, if you're into that. Good
yeah.
coffee.
Yeah. I just did this job in New York and went to the one we were shooting at the one in, you're from New York, right? Mm-hmm. I'm blanking out. It's like three times a week and it's like in Manhattan proper. Mm. Man, I'm blanking out.
Oh, you're talking about the Union Square?
Yeah. And, the woman we were shooting bought some stuff that I was like, once, you know, she cooked it and I tasted it, I was like, I'd never heard of these vegetables. I'm blanking out on what they are, but I'm like, and then I looked for, these things and I couldn't find them at Whole Foods or anything and I was like, oh man, I gotta like,
what are fiddleheads?
I would get the best apples at that farmer's
really
market.
Everything she made was so good and I was like, oh man,
That's what's up.
Who was, is she like a chef?
Yeah, it was like a dog food thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
You were eating dog food?
I mean, yeah.
That's good.
No, we weren't eating dog food. We were doing farmer's market for dog food.
Girl.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when I make Wags' stuff, it's mostly like peas and, you know, carrots, and pumpkin is great for dogs.
Yeah. I mean, she was making it for herself, but it was just part of the concept, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Proud of her.
Yeah. I mean, like, there was these, man, I wish I knew what they were called, but it was like this thing that was like half onion, half garlic kind of vine.
Shallot?
It wasn't a shallot. It was something else, but it kind of had a garlic taste, but I don't know. It was so good.
You know what fiddleheads are?
No.
I don't know what they are either. And I saw my friend.
That sounds like a candy.
No, they're like, they look like little caps. And I don't know what they're part of or how you, but like, I saw a friend post them on her Instagram recently. I guess I could just ask her.
I'm Googling it right now.
But I was like, what are these? What do they taste like? I need to know what they taste like.
Yeah.
The world's most magical vegetable.
Are they?
That was one headline I just read. Yeah. Fiddleheads, or fiddlehead greens, are furled fronds of a young fern harvested for use as a vegetable.
A young fern? Are you cutting down their potential to be a full-grown fern? Fern murder.
Fern murder. Fern gully.
Just everyone should know that Molly's hair has come along great.
Is it? I'm using no mirror. Yeah. I'm using no mirror. I'm just free.
Well, when you brought the hair over, I was like, that doesn't match her color. Should I tell her? But now that it's in, it does.
Yeah, and it's also blending. I'm blending with a lighter blonde as well.
No, your hair person knows what they're doing.
It's used a lot in Asian cuisine, in Indian cuisine.
It was Jolie who posted, and Jolie's Indian. Mm-hmm. That could be like why she was hip to the fiddle. I mean, could be not because she's Indian, but.
Yeah. Jolie, hit us up and explain fiddleheads to us, please.
She's like, I don't listen to this podcast.
What does it look like in the. Oh.
Yeah, they're really weird. They look like pinwheels, but like green pinwheels.
That's they're strange looking, but they're cute. You're cute. I mean, yeah. What was this call about?
Hotels to stay here with a walk-a-ding.
But yeah, I mean, like, I'm going to be honest with you and just say that unless you are familiar with LA and you've been here a million times and you just want me to shut up, like, because you know what you're doing, that's fine. But I have a feeling that you're going to not be – I mean, WeHo is great and you're going to have fun in WeHo no matter what. But I want you to know that this is – Pump is not a place to design your vacation around.
I also would say if you're spending that kind of like West Hollywood money on a hotel, find the hotel that you're going to have fun spending that money on. Like go online and look at it and be like, oh, maybe it's 5 miles out from Pump, but it looks like more my vibe because you're going to spend some dough on like those kind of hotels.
They're very expensive.
Yeah. So find the one that like fits you best and then just like lift over to Pump.
And
yeah.
Also, overall, as a neighborhood, WeHo is a little bit difficult sometimes to get to. So think about, like, travel time. If you are going to explore parts of the city, sometimes, like, because it's so far away from a lot of freeways, it's a little bit difficult to get around.
Yeah,
and also,
I agree
the parking's
with that.
Kind of like a...
Yeah, oh, no, it's a pain in the ass. I mean, you need to understand that because LA is not a walking city, like, our Ubers are very cheap. Like, it's also, like, it'll be, like, $4 for you. But, like, you can't wear... I mean... There's nowhere you can walk with heels on to a hotel in WeHo. Like, if you have heels on because you're going to Pump, like, you need to get a grip. Like, you're not going to be walking that night at all.
So it's best to find the hotel that you really are stoked about, that you're as stoked about as going to Pump. Because you're going to spend more time there than you are at Pump.
Sunset Tower's awesome.
Yeah, Pump's kind of on the bottom of a hill, which is what I was trying to get at before. And I was like, you got an uphill walk back to a hotel if you're really passionate about it that way.
Yeah, the only one that's like not crazy. I mean, it's a small hill. Sur is more on the hill. Pump is right on the corner.
Which one's next to the Abbey?
They're sandwiched. The Abbey's sandwiched between. There's like a Mexican restaurant next to Sur. But it's like sandwiched. They're sandwiched between the two. Okay. It's like where the old Here. Remember Here?
No, I don't really. I'm an East Sider.
Yeah. So there was a bar called Here, and that's next to where Pump was, or where Pump is. And then there's the Abbey in between the two, where you might find yourself more. I mean, the food is better at the Abbey. The drinks are better at the Abbey. There's dancing at the Abbey. Like, Pump, there's no dancing. The food sucks. Like, I can't stress to you enough. Like, please, like.
But you should go if, like, that's, like, a thing. But don't go multiple. Like, just be open to other. There's also great stuff around there.
Also, I will tell you, too, like, you don't. Like, you're not going to feel cool, like, your third night at Pump when, like, the major D, like, recognizes you. Like, you're going to feel like a loser. Like, I know that I would feel like one. I go to there, like, I can do it, like, twice a year, usually if it's someone in town sort of thing. And that's about it. So.
I've never been to either of those.
You'll survive.
I would like to recommend Cacao, quietly the best Mexican restaurant in Los Angeles.
Where is that?
In Eagle Rock.
but you love Cacao. I've never heard of that.
Oh, my God. You have to go there.
I'm staying in Eagle Rock, so maybe I'll try
you
it.
You are?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Wait, you're staying in Eagle Rock?
Yeah, I'm dog sitting.
Oh, that's fun. Cacao.
Cacao.
Oh, my God.
How do you spell it?
Everything. I think it's C-O-C-O-A or...
Okay.
Okay, I'll figure it out.
It's on Colorado. Okay. I always say Cacao Quietly, the best Mexican restaurant in Los Angeles. That's the full name in my world.
I do think that they sounds like on Postmates, actually.
Monster from my childhood nightmares.
Cacao?
Cacao.
Well, it's if you say like it enough.
Just like get ready for awesome.
Chocolate. Cacao.
Yeah.
Cacao.
Yeah. All right, you guys. I guess that was episode 142 of Please Advise. I've been sewing together
but
some
also,
extensions.
Can I say... Yeah. To the girl, I didn't mean to hate on her vacation plan. So I want to say, have fun no matter what you do.
You're sweeter than I am, I'll tell you that much.
Well, I mean, you know, going to, you know, no, Pump it might be a thing. And like, I mean, if I was going to some, I don't know, just have fun.
If I was going
your
through
best
something,
life.
Yeah.
You'll have fun. You'll have fun. But just remember that if you're disappointed in your Pump experience, you are not alone in that. That tends to be the common feeling I have found. So you're good. Okay, go have fun. All right, bye-bye. All right, you guys, that was episode 142 of Please Advise. We've done 142 of these things. Can you believe that, Christina?
No, I can't.
But shalom.
I know, it's funny because one of our guests, was it Duncan who asked, like, oh, no, it was you. You were like, do you know that it's good when you do it? And then we're just like, no, at this point, we can't.
No. I mean, like, sometimes we have, like, we'll be like, that was a really good guest, like, right after they leave. But, like... It's hard to listen to an episode and be like, this was an exceptional one.
Well,
like,
the one that, what was the number of the one? Because I'm sure you've
Lewis Peitzman.
That one I just listened to. I thought that was so good.
139.
139. Guys, listen to
it's
139.
Weird that we know that. It's so weird, like, how we remember names and guests, but, like, also can't tell the difference between episodes anymore.
Yeah. They've just melded into our brains.
I am going to, put these hair, keep these hair extensions in, and then clean my house for the rest of the day.
I need you guys to know Molly was doing her hair extensions for at least the last
call
and a half, and she was just a pro, still podcasting, but yep. Fully, like, your multitasking is amazing.
Thank you, girl. You know, like, when it comes to my beauty, like, it's just all about me. So, there you go.
Multitasking.
You guys, thank you for listening. Jen, where can people find you?
I mean, should I give my physical address? Because I'm at home most of the time.
Cacao. Best answer to that question we've had on the show. Best answer.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a homebody with no online presence.
Same.
But you can completely.
Well, I guess I do have an Instagram. Strange. Expect a post every 6 months, guys.
And our last guest said about his Twitter. He's like, you'll read about one tweet every 6 weeks.
I don't think I've Twittered since like 2011.
But when you did, it was good.
Okay, good. And that, yeah, so, yeah, there's nothing to,
where can people find your work or anything?
Oh, well, my website's not really up. Oh my God, I'm terrible at that.
just Google Jennifer Neese. You can find a bunch of the photos that we took together ages ago on my Instagram.
Oh, maybe I'll post one on my Instagram. I haven't posted on Instagram. I mean, I spent a month in France at the beginning of the year and did not post one thing. I'm so bad at it. But no, I actually did do an Instagram story of my dog this morning because he was being really awesome.
Tugboat.
Well, if I watch it, you'll know I'll watch it, as we learned today.
I know.
I need to start looking at who watches it.
I'm going
to
be such a stalker.
Christina, you're such a stalker. Christina's been stalking me for years. Okay, you guys, thank you so much for listening. I will talk to you really, really soon. Thank you, Christina, for being here as always. You guys, 323-450-7408. That's the number that you call to leave us messages, or you can email a voice note or letter to askpleaseadvise@gmail.com, or just check in on our website, pleaseadvisepodcast.com. We have all sorts of social media stuff. We have a Facebook group. And yeah, make sure you listen to my other podcast, Mother May I Sleep With Podcast and Emotionally Broken Psychos. That's it. Bye, guys.